Well, we appreciate you being here tonight and getting ready to go into the revival. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we just appreciate all the prayer warriors and people that are watching online and people that are here with us, believing and fasting and praying and seeking God and calling on God for the things that we have been standing for decades now and are so close. I said Sunday we're dime thin. We're just like that close. So let's go ahead and push on into the latter part of it. Amen. I want to start out tonight, and it's quite a long prophecy, so bear with us. We're going to go ahead and pass out those prophecies, and because this prophecy came to me the other day by an elder, and it's one that was given here years ago. And it's on our website. It's December the 12th, 2021. If those of you that are watching, if you want to go to the prophecy section and find it and follow along with us, you can do that. December 12th, 2021. And I wish I could give you a handout to read along with us. That way you can go there now and find it, give you a second. But I believe it is part of our blueprint. It's not the blueprint, one of the blueprint prophecies, but it is part of the subsequent prophecies that came soon thereafter. But I believe it's vital for us to rehearse often what we have been called to do, and this goes out to the entire body of Christ. This is for not this church only, but other churches, everybody that will hear this and that are seeking God for an outpouring and revival. Father, we thank you, we praise you. Continually remind us of who we are and what you've called us to do. You've groomed us for decades, many of us. And Lord, you're bringing more into a place of going from young men to men and women that are of adult age, and then the elders that will bring forth in maturity and bring forth, Lord, your undergirding for doctrine and for truth in these last days. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for everything that you provided for and for Holy Spirit. We love you. We praise you, Jesus. And we thank you for it. Amen. Hallelujah. So has everybody got a prophecy so far? I'm going to ask you to take these home with you, pray over these, and read them maybe often. But I want to go through this with you and just listen to what the Lord said to us then. It's just as strong today and even more strong now. It is you or else. I have no plan B. Can you say this with me? It's me or else. God has no plan B. Hallelujah. So let's look at it together. I'm going to read it and comment some. And then we're going to go into some scripture here in a little bit, because he wants me to tell you how that you can enforce this and enforce the mandate that he has given us. There is coming a redefining to humanity of what the church is and the true message of Christ. This has not been seen. This will not be seen to start with by the multitudes, but is growing in places and in secret places across the land, and in private places of worship and small gatherings. People who are asking for more of me. I'm coming into their lives and placing upon them a burden that they will not be able to escape. Hallelujah. And I say, put it on us, Lord. Put it on us. Hallelujah. Do not ask for this, he said. Do not ask for more of me, says the Spirit of the Lord, if you're not serious. Wow. Because I will come to you and I will invade your life, and I will even at times inconvenience your life for more of me, says the Spirit of the Lord. And he did that this morning at about 2 o'clock. And I'm thinking, he doesn't ever sleep. He doesn't. But I think we need some sleep. But Candy said, where are you going? I said, I just feel like he's asking me maybe to spend some time. And If you start talking to him and say, invade my world, he'll take you serious. So he's saying, don't say it if you're not serious. For those who ask and those who seek and those who knock, they will be answered. Well, thank you, Jesus. They will find, and it will be opened unto them. But the defining of how I will come to start with for many of you will be a difference in your life, and it will redefine many places of your life. And this is where we're having a real stretching. Growth is stretching. When you were a teenage girl, when you were a small girl or boy, sometimes you would have growing pains. And your legs would hurt at night in the bed where you're laying there, and you're like, I'd say to mom or dad, I'm just hurting. I don't know why. And they would, what's wrong? And they would only define it as, well, you've got growing pains. And you're growing, you're stretching. God is going to grow us up. And in the growing process, there's a lot of redefining. What was important before is not going to be important now. Hallelujah. Some are in a quandary, believing that your heart is petitioning me for more of me, believing that your heart is petitioning me for more of me, says the Lord, and yet not fully persuaded if you're able to make the journey of the commitment and inconvenience. But I say unto you that for those of you who will invest yourself, I will multiply. Here's something that the Lord tells us in the natural. He goes into the natural here about our time. I will multiply your time. What took you hours will only be moments. And what occupied hours of your brain time and searching will come through my authority. And much will be given to you to dictate through the Spirit and to accomplish more. Even to the extent that more time will be given to you that you will have left over time. Well, how many like some of that? Hallelujah. So here's the steward saying, Lord, give me more. And he gives you more. And he can supernaturally accomplish things in an hour that would take us in our own strength all day long. But it's for a purpose. The temptation will be to do more in the natural with what time you have. But I say unto you, says the Spirit of the Lord, that I'm going to sow into your life the benefits, and you will reap the benefits of having more authority over your time. Use your time wisely and redeem the time, says the Lord. Spend more time in presence and in intimacy and in fellowship with me, says the Lord, for I'm seeking to redefine what Christianity looks like. Hallelujah. It's right here. But how many of you know that most of the body of Christ is not even reading this enough to know what real Christianity looks like? So when he begins to work in us and we walk and we become the pages that we become the living word in us, and we begin to, the body of Christ is going to see, oh, that's what Christianity looks like. That's what it should be like. The world has seen a powerless, sin-filled church that is more of a country club and something to belong to than a viable, Spirit-filled, righteous, walking church filled with Jesus. I said years ago, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I could probably fill this church up real soon, real fast, and we could go to whatever we could put in here if we just went to programs. And if we just went to something that would make people feel like that they were part of something more social. If you go here or if you watch on Wednesday night, you're the tip of the spear, because there's not a lot of fluff around here other than let's get close to Jesus, and that's enough. Hallelujah. Many of your friends and many of your acquaintances do not even know that you go to a place like this that is seeking an outpouring to change the world. That is going to change. Do not, here he goes again, do not ask for this unless you are ready to be inconvenienced. But you will at some point have to make a choice, he says. Either you will harden your heart and live in a place where you make up your mind to settle for second best, or else you will choose to go all the way with me, says the Spirit of the Lord. Some of you, and even many of you who are standing here, and that was when he was speaking that day, today, will not be here in time to come. Well, we've seen that take place. You will choose another path. You will choose a more convenient path. But for those who will stay, the reward will be great. Do not settle in these final hours for anything less than perfect, says the Spirit of the Lord. As I have said in other places, that a very subtle attack is coming. And I say, and I will say in this place, I will herald that and say a second to that, that there is a subtle attack coming to the body of Christ. And to those who call themselves who are called revivalists, do not settle for the second best. Do not go another way. Do not choose another purpose. Do not figure out another route. Stay in the place, in presence. Stay in fasting. Stay in prayers. The earth has never seen in 2,000 years a group that will emerge like you will emerge. I am not saying to you that you will get smaller, but if you do get smaller, if this house, church, he's talking about, gets smaller, even whittles down to even a smaller number, do not fear and do not relent. And he goes, increase, 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 increase. Seven times he says it, says the Spirit of the Lord. Do not say within your hearts, I've heard these things before. And oh, I hear them being said again today. Do not harden your heart, says the Spirit of grace. For these things are being said to you because I love you and because I have found a place within your hearts as a group of people that I can say these things. And if a man bears fruit, did I not say that I will come and purge that man, that woman, that they would bear more fruit, says the Spirit of grace? You're my hope in the earth. Now, this is amazing. The Holy Spirit would say this to us. I have no second plan. For those of you who are watching and those of you who are in here, this is one prophecy to everyone. As he said to this group, so he says to you, many of you who are watching, some of you, if you do not garrison your hearts, that was a warning then. It's still, I believe, a warning now. You will not be here a year from now. But I will keep you, says the Spirit of grace, and I will hedge you in. Are you glad for that? Amen. Some things are coming that will sparkle. Now, here's part of that subtle, I would say, deception. They will sparkle. Sparkle what? Sparkle in the Spirit. Boy, this looks really good. Some things with glitz, and some things that will resemble almost the closeness of power that we are seeking God for. It will have a great resemblance to this calling. And yet I say unto you, do not take that door. Do not take that door. Do not go down that path. The doctrine is not as sure. The path is not as filled with the righteousness and godly integrity. Stay on this path, says the Spirit of grace. This is the path of the apostles. This is the path laid down by the foundation of your apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not choose the easy route. I will vitalize. I will bring forth vitality to your spirit. Do not be lazy in your spirit. Do not take the easy route. Do not expect someone to do it for you. He who has ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Well, my wife is close to God, or my husband, it doesn't work that way. Somebody, you've got to be the one that's going in. Hallelujah. I'm calling all of you as sons and daughters, as priests and priestesses. to stand before me. Whatever your part is on a daily basis, it is vital to this. You add to the river. Your streams add to the river, says the Spirit of grace. It may not be the hours that your pastor is praying. It may not be the hours that some of your leaders are praying. But if you are obedient, truly obedient to what I've asked you to do, then you are doing your part but lay down, he says, excuses. Lay down excuses of why you cannot pray, why you cannot be in church more. Lay down excuses. Here's subtle things. For many of you have said, I have received, and this sometimes we've all been there, I've received this clearance from the Lord. I've heard from God. And he says this, go back and recheck that the voice now that you are more mature and deader. Now, I don't think the Holy Spirit, I think that somebody says deader? Yeah, being more dead, okay? That's a made up word the Holy Spirit used there. He's saying it through his servant, of course. Best I could say it. None are completely dead yet to the things of the flesh, not even the one speaking presently. Can I say amen to that? But the more dead you are to the flesh, the clearer my voice comes. You have two voices speaking to you. And one is the voice of the flesh, which will often describe and camouflage itself as the voice of God. But the deeper you go into me, the more you will be able to distinguish whether it is you pacifying, now this is deep, pacifying your flesh and giving it an excuse of why you cannot pray more, or whether it is truly my Spirit giving you a good conscience concerning the activities of your life. Your voice and his voice can sound so similar. Maturity is you praying enough, listening enough, and knowing enough of the word to say, okay, did I just say that and said that was him? And he's saying this in a sense of the word. It's a godly chastisement for all of us. It's like, I believe I heard from him and he gave me a hall pass. And we have to go back the more we mature and say, okay, wait a minute. If I'm not doing the things that you're asking me to do, was it, God, what was it that I thought that I heard from you that really was me? Follow me in the days ahead. You have no idea how much I need you. You call upon me and call me Lord and Master, and so I am, says the Spirit of grace, to provide for you. But I turn to you and say, I have no hope in the earth except you on this plane. This is your part. This is your assignment in the earth to receive this outpouring. Much of my church will never progress past programs, and I will bless them 100-fold where they are, but they will never progress. 100-fold. You say, well, 100-fold, really? But they'll never progress. Well, 100-fold of 60. He'll give them as much as of 60 as he can, or 40%. They'll win the loss. They'll do whatever. But we're not after brass or silver. We're after gold, which is the fullness of revival. It will do you no good to look at certain churches and say, Lord, pour out your Spirit, because some of them, though the pastor is saved and the people are saved, they will never go past programs. This is all they will ever see, and I will take a great multitude in the harvest from them. But understand this, if you have heard with your ears this journey, then you have heard, come up higher, says the Spirit of grace. And for you, I am laying my hand upon you to come up into a place where your eyes see. They see the truth and your ears hear the truth. And you will never be satisfied with programs, says the Spirit of grace. You are my prize in the earth, and all correction that I ever give, I give you, desiring for you to know my affirmation and my love and my hope for you. There is no plan B. There is no secondary choice. Many have said, but if I fall, and I've heard people say this before, well, if something happens to me, God will replace me. Some have said, if I fall, then God will raise up someone behind me. This is foolishness, says the Spirit of the Lord. For when I take a man or a congregation and groom them for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and bring them to a place of fruition where they can bring forth, if they stop their journey or if they turn, if a man called or a woman called stops and turns aside, I have no other plan. For I have groomed them for decades for a purpose. I cannot raise up overnight someone who has no knowledge, someone who has no strength in prayer, someone who has not grown up in maturity. It's you or else, says the Spirit of the Lord, or Spirit of Grace. If you fail in this assignment, then it will be many, 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 many more decades for this region. And that's wherever you're at. For the time has come, the time is now, and the time is short. Stay in your place. And stay in your assignment, says the Spirit of Grace. Hallelujah. Well, quite a long prophecy, but very powerful, right? Amen. Very powerful. And something we need to continually remind ourselves all the time. Now, this is just simple in the sense of the word of, but one of the ways that we can enforce our affirmation and who we are is continually to remind ourselves of the power that is in our mouth and in our tongue. And I'm not talking about an answer when somebody asks you a question. I'm talking about deliberate confessions on a daily and a continual basis. I'm going to read for some scripture to you. You can follow along if you want to turn there quickly enough. But Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. It says this, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And you've heard this. We've got to repeat it to you again tonight in understanding there is no plan B. God doesn't have a secondary choice. We've got to bring this into fruition. We've got to bring this, but how so? We could go into the Word of God, meditation of the word, fasting, worship, but it's so important that we're speaking confessions on a continual basis. Verse 21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Hallelujah. Love what? Love life. I would say this, love the potential or the affirmation of revival. And so we speak that on a continual basis, not just over your personal life, but speaking this over this church, over the eldership, over the truth and the doctrine that's coming out of here. Lord, I speak life. I speak, we're going to have this. You said there is no plan B, and if there's no plan B, then we're your choice, and this is going to come to pass. The word belly is betan in the Hebrew, and it means the inner part of the person. And so what he's saying, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and a man's words will satisfy, a woman's words will satisfy, bring into fullness the maturity of their spirit. What comes out of their spirit will be satisfied by the words of their mouth. A man's spirit will be satisfied by speaking God's word. Psalms 34. I love this psalm. But in verse 12, you're in the Psalms there, so it's easy enough. Verse 12 says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Folks, it's so important that we guard our tongues, especially when it comes to what we're believing around here. Correct yourself before yourself and before the Father, if necessary. Go to the blood. If we say anything contrary to the truth, that a mockery is in revival. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Amen. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And I said this, when we're talking about speaking and speaking God's word, a lot of times we think, well, I'm going to have a good answer. I'm going to make sure if anybody asks me anything about how I'm doing, I'm going to say the right things. We're not talking about that tonight. We're talking about your priesthood, spending some time developing some confessions that will help us bring about the outpouring. Psalms 35 says this, verse 27 and 28. Let's look at it together. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, or yea, let them say continually. Everybody say continually. Continually let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You know, you really, for all of us, and I'm preaching to myself, we should go throughout the day just continually speaking as much as we can the promises of God's word and saying, I say against all evidence of anything that looks like, I call this one healed, I call that one healed. You should have, I hope that you're developing maybe something that you can put a list of people's names where you're speaking over them and that you're calling them out on a daily basis and saying, Lord, I'm calling this person healed. I'm calling this person restored. I'm calling this person, I'm speaking on a continual basis. And there is, we're not doing this in a sense of, Lord, it's a legalism and we put a quarter in the slot machine and we get something back. We're doing this knowing that, Lord, your word is true and it cannot fail. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and thy praise all the day long. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. David said this in Psalms 39. He said, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I might not with my tongue, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Now there is a powerful scripture there. When he said, now David is talking about physical people, and he's talking about, I will keep my tongue while the wicked is before me. But we should keep our tongues at all times, but especially when you're going through a trial, or when something is happening to your family, or something's happening to your finances, or something's happening to your emotions. There's no greater time than to watch your tongue. And sometimes people will ask you a question, and before you know it, you've said several things that are contrary. David said, while the wicked are before me, I will keep my tongue. And so I'm saying in the trial, while the enemy is bringing something against you, especially say, Lord, help me. It's important always, but Lord, help me while I'm going through this, to bridle my tongue while the wicked is before me. He said this, I'll just read this because I had it written down. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Psalms 45, he says this, and I hope you're just following along in the Psalms with us because we're there for a bit. Psalms 45, verse 1 says, my heart is intending a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God, this is him speaking, the blessings God has blessed thee forever. Verse 3, gird, this is the psalmist continuing to speak life. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh. O mighty, O most high, with thy glory and thy majesty. Sometimes you're going to have to stand in your house and say, Lord, draw out your sword. Draw out your sword. Lord, I'm speaking into the atmosphere, and angels hear these things. God, you're hearing these things because I'm speaking them to you. The psalmist David was kind of like he was a pilot, like a prototype. Christ is our the author and the finisher of our salvation. He's the one that we look to. But we see these examples of David speaking powerful things into the atmosphere to change the order of things. Verse 4, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. And again, we know David, he was speaking about physical things, but we get to say, Lord, there are unseen things taking place around me, and you're equipped to live in two worlds, the natural and the spiritual. You're equipped because your spirit person is in touch with God. And so God will show you. He will show you the movements of the enemy, and he will help you to know how to stop those things even before they take place. But you've got to be in communion with him, and you've got to speak his word. And when you speak it, don't just wish for something. Begin to say, Lord, let your arrows be sharp against the enemies of your son, your daughter, your family. Psalm 66, verse 17 says this. Psalmist again. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But truly or verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Psalm 71, look at it. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk. My tongue, my mouth, our speech, our tongue is so vitally important. You got to put stuff in, but what we speak out is so vitally important. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Well, this is, we're speaking of spiritual things. Satan is confounded. He's put to shame. My tongue, Psalms 119, verse 172. I love 119. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous, a righteousness. Hallelujah. It's so important. Read this, and speak this. Hallelujah. Preach in your home. Some of you would like to say, well, I think I'm called to preach. Well, the first place you start preaching is in your home, and not to your wife or not to your husband, but to the atmosphere. Angels hear it, demons flee, but we create the world in front of us, the spiritual world in front of us. Psalms 139, let's just read a little bit of this anyway. Verse 1 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. I like this. He's saying, Lord, this is how intimate we can get with the Holy Spirit. He said, Lord, you know my thoughts afar off. This is where God is so intimate with us. It's not saying here, the psalmist is not saying you're afar off, you're way out there, but you can still read my thoughts. And how many know God sees it's not just what he hears with our words, but he knows our thoughts. Hallelujah. So glad Satan can't read your thoughts, but God can, and he sees your thoughts. But amazing part is, how intimate is he? It's not saying that he can hear your thoughts even though he's a long ways away. He's saying here, thou knowest my down sittings and my uprising, thou understandest my thoughts afar off. The actual understanding is this: in the molecular structure of your thoughts, or before the thought comes, while it's still forming, while it's in whatever your thoughts are, in its infant stage of beginning, he sees it as it's being created or as it's being rehearsed in your mind. What does that tell you about how close God monitors us? Not with a hammer, like, I'm going to get you, but to say, I want to get in there. I want to get in there with assurance. I want to get in there with peace. I want to help create the assurance and the peace through my thoughts, giving you my thoughts all the day long. There's not a word in my tongue, he says this. Oh, he says in verse 3, thou compassest my paths, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. I like knowing that God's with me all the time. Hallelujah. I don't like going through any moment of the day feeling like that I'm not conscious of him in some way. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. For thou beset me behind and before, and laid down and laid thy hand upon me. I'm just hearing somebody, I'm not hearing, but somebody saying, well, how do you know that that Satan can't read your thoughts? Well, there's a number. I'm sure there's many, many scriptures. But the very purpose of God teaching us and rehearsing to us through multiple dozens of scripture of watch your mouth, is an absolute testimony of he doesn't know what's going on the inside unless you let him know what's going on. Hallelujah. So stay private on the inside and speak to God. Hallelujah. That's what I love about tongues. Isn't that wonderful? You pray in tongues a lot. The enemy doesn't even know what you're saying. Hallelujah. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from my spirit, or whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. There's no place that God's not. So what is that telling us? There's no place in your life where God's not going to come. No matter where you're at, he's going to come and he's going to help you. Hallelujah. Because he's your Abba. He's your daddy. If I take the wings of the morning dove, and dwell in the utter parts of the sea, he's saying to us, even there shall thy hand lead me, the psalmist said, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be like light around about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now let's go to the New Testament for just a moment. Let's go to something very familiar. Let's go to our Lord and Savior, what the premium that he put on words. And there's, you know, you just do a series on Mark chapter 11. But let's just read a few verses there. And this is where Jesus, earlier the day before, had cursed the fig tree. And in the morning, verse 20 says this: and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree, which thou cursest, is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. Some translations will say, have the faith of God, or this is how God's faith in us works. For truly or verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Everybody say, not doubt in his heart. That's the key right there. You speak, but the moment that you speak, you've got to choose. I'm making a choice here. I'm making a deliberate choice. It's one thing, and I know that God has touched my life many times where that I wasn't doubting in my heart. I was questioning. There was something going on in my mind. He'll get over to you as much as he can in answered prayer. But there's coming a place where the spirit person on the inside and the brain that where all of the questionings take place become fully married together, and God dominates that place through our fellowship and through the Word of God. And boy, that's where miracles take place. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have, I love this, whatsoever he saith. Do you believe there's a place like that? I hope you do. I hope you believe that we're coming into a place where whatsoever we saith shall come to pass. Hallelujah. You didn't come to church to say, well, I wanted to hear another message where it won't come to pass. It is going to come to pass. Hallelujah. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. There's no plan B. I am it. You are it. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I don't know. Listen, no. Mountain of outpouring in Jesus' name. Now. Now's the time. We speak in Jesus' name. Those things that are trying to hinder and stop the outpouring, be cast into the sea in Jesus' name. We'll have what we say. Immokalee is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. Jesus is Lord over our lives. We're going to go away like we're going to come to a place where we're going to be like Israel escaping the Egyptian bondage, where there's no feeble, there's no sick among us. Hallelujah. And the world's going to look at us, and the church world is going to look at us and say, wow, they didn't have a plan B. They only had one course, and that was to go after not the fluff, not the stuff, but hallelujah, the fullness of God's word in us. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just worship for a few minutes. We've got a little bit of time. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. Jesus is Lord over wherever you're at. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. We thank you, Lord. Kingdom of God. Kingdom of God come. Jesus is Lord. We won't stop. We won't stop, Jesus. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. We've labored, Lord, but you're our strength. Lord, you're our strength. We don't throw up that we've labored to say that we deserve. Lord, we call ourselves unprofitable servants. We've done what our duty is to do. This is our duty, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you've called us for revival. We thank you that you've called us, Lord, to lay down our lives for you. We give you all the praise. We love you, Jesus. Kingdom of God come. Hallelujah. Lead us, Harry. Those of you at home, worship with us. We love you so much for being with us service after service. Hallelujah, Jesus.
All my life you have been faithful.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
And all my life you have been so
worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus.
With every breath that I am able.
Worship you, Jesus.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness,
yes, Lord,
of God.
Yes, Jesus.
Oh, all my life you have been faithful. In all my life you have been so, so good,
yes, Jesus.
Lord, with every breath
bless
that
you,
I am able,
yes, Lord.
Oh, I will sing,
worship you,
of
Jesus,
the goodness of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless your holy name. All my life you have been faithful,
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord, all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness.
Hallelujah.
goodness of God. Oh, I will sing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Of the goodness of God.
Father, we thank you. We praise you. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole, thousands and thousands are born again. We thank you for the prayer cloths that we sent out. We sent out a couple that were wrote in that were really desperate situations. Lord, in Jesus' name, they're done. We call it done. Something changes. And all those that went out as they prayed, we prayed Sunday over these cloths. That, Lord, you follow these things. There is no plan B, Lord. There is no plan B, Father. We love you. It's us. It's us, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What an honor, what a privilege to be called your sons and daughters. What an honor and privilege to be asked to do things that would inconvenience. Lord, it is no inconvenience if we love you. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Sunday, it's Father's Day, right? Okay. So, hallelujah. We'll come. I hope your father is still living. If he is, then hallelujah. Make sure you get in touch with him Sunday. We love you. We bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. We will see you on Father's Day. Amen. Blessings.